Good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine.
Good morning, Phil. How are you this lovely Tuesday morning?
I'm doing good. The sun's out. The sun was out early this morning, too. Lots of birds and squirrels chirping and chittering and chattering.
That it is. Finally, sunny weather in Sandpoint.
Yeah. So what did you do this weekend?
Well, not over the weekend, but I did two really fun things with kids last week, Phil. And the first was that I helped install the school garden at the last elementary school in Sandpoint School District that needed one, and that was at Southside. So for those of you looking for volunteer work to do, they do need help with the kids' gardens, and it's a fun activity. Nice kids.
So what all did you plant?
We didn't plant. We just installed the garden here. They'll be planting it this week, so it should be a fun week for the kids over at Southside. Then the second thing I did, and this is another really fun event if people want to get involved, was that the Panhandle chapter of Trout Unlimited has a class each year where they help elementary and junior high kids and even high school kids learn how to fly fish and tie flies. And so we were up at the Kootenai National Refuge, and some of the guys were teaching kids how to tie their first fly, and then some of us were teaching them how to cast, and we even caught a few trout, Phil.
Excellent.
I know. So it was pretty fun.
Well, yours was a lot more fun than I sat in a classroom 8 hours each day, Saturday and Sunday, getting my wilderness first aid refresher course, which is important stuff. But boy, I long to be outside, even in the rain.
Well, you'll be ready to help us out when we keel over up on the trail. Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah, I just need to have my companions take it.
That's right.
So we've got a great show this morning. We've got a couple sets of guests. Do you want to introduce the first ones, Julie?
Well, yes. Our first set of guests this morning are two folks. Molly McCann from the Lake Commission. She's a coordinator of the Lakes Commission. And Mark Sauter, who in this morning show is a private resident, not the fire marshal of Sagal. Good morning, Molly, and good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yes, so no fire today. We're going to talk rain, water, that kind of stuff.
No, just water today.
That's right. And do we need a weather report, Phil, or is it just sun?
No, it's not all sun. This is Idaho. It is May. Today, the National Weather Service says sunny, high of 76 degrees. Wow. That's just most excellent. Tonight, a low of 43. A few clouds moving in, it looks like. Tomorrow is only mostly sunny with a high of 75. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low of 48. And then guess what on Thursday? 30% chance of rain. But the temperatures stay nice and balmy in the 70s Thursday night. There's this squiggle there that shows 90% chance of a thunderstorm moving in Thursday night. And then we're on back into that rinse, wash, repeat cycle where I think we get a little bit of everything for the next few days after that.
And guess what? This warm weather is causing mushrooms to sprout. I did find a few morels.
Are you going to tell us where?
In my yard. Oh. So don't y'all come over and pick my morels, all right?
Well, there's plenty of good places nearby with the fires of 2015 that should be regenerating morels this season as well.
That's right. Well, we've got a great interview, and I'd like to get started on it. As I've mentioned, we've got Molly McCann and Mark Sauter here, and we're going to be talking about an issue that you probably haven't thought about much, but it has to do with lake levels and lakeshore erosion. Molly, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your job and yourself?
Okay. So again, I'm Molly McCann, and I am the coordinator for the Lakes Commission. The Lakes Commission is an advisory board to the state of Idaho on water-related issues in the Ponderay Basin. And it's made up of a 7-member board that is appointed by the governor to address and inform the governor of what's happening up here in the Ponderay Basin, since this is where we have the most water, and they're way down in Boise. So that's the intent of the commission.
Ah, and tell us about your position, what you do for that commission.
Well, my job is essentially to bring the issues that are of concern in the basin to the commissioners. We have in a public forum and just in general for them to be aware of. So we pay close attention to fishery issues. Technically, our commission's called the Lake Ponderay, Ponderay River, Priest River and Priest Lake Commission. Yes. So we're paying attention to issues in all those water bodies.
That is a mouthful.
It is.
But when we shorten it, we should be careful to keep that S on the lakes because it's more than one lake you're concerned
correct.
About.
Correct, yes. And it's a bit confusing because it doesn't specify, you know, which basin. We used to be called the Ponderay Lakes Commission. but it was changed anyhow. So the fishery issues vary from lake to lake, so we pay close attention to that. We also pay a lot of attention to the aquatic invasive species issue. We just made a huge effort to acquire additional funding for the Idaho Watercraft Inspection Program for Idaho, which is designed to prevent invasive quagga zebra mussels from entering our waters. And they were just discovered in Montana in the Tiber Reservoir. And so we have, an increased risk to our waters recently. And so we were able to, encourage the state to provide additional funding. And they provided $4 million through the year 2018. So that's very encouraging. And the entire state is behind that program.
And so it sounds like there's probably four or five shows worth of material for us you come back and talk about. But today we're going to focus in on erosion.
Correct.
And your interest in erosion goes beyond the Lakes Commission. You also are part of the a Bonner County Waterways Committee.
Correct. I sit on the Waterways Advisory Board for Bonner County. And in the past several years, the public has been coming to that advisory board with concerns about erosion on their shoreline, specifically due to boat wakes and large mm-hmm. wakes.
Well, let's hear from Mark. Mark, you're also interested in this problem of ours and potential solutions to it.
Sure. I'm just a citizen. I'm a boater. I get out on the water 125 to 170 days a year, and I sit out in the audience for the meetings that Molly sits on a board seat mm-hmm. for. So when we heard about the different wakes issues, there was questions about, well, what do we do to protect some of the shoreline? What do we do to protect docks and homeowners and all that? There was lots of solutions that were thrown around, but some of us said, well, wait a minute here, maybe we should get together, talk it over. What can we do for first steps? What are our options are? So I was kind of a volunteer for the group. So some subcommittees were formed and mm-hmm. we tried to kind of do some problem solving.
So before we talk solutions for the people who are listening, you might be saying, well, it's a river, it's a lake, there's wind, it blows waves. What's the big deal if there's a few more waves from a boat? Tell us why it is a big deal.
Well, we believe that it's become a more pressing issue lately in the past several years because we're seeing bigger boats on the water and boats that are designed to generate very large wakes. And so we're primarily hearing from river shoreline landowners that their shorelines are eroding at an accelerated rate. That their boats or their docks are being damaged, their boat lifts are being damaged. They're concerned about swimming on the shoreline because the wakes are so large and powerful. And so we think that it's an increase in these larger boats and more boats. Mm-hmm. And that the 200-foot wake zone, which is the law, is often not adequate in relation to these wakes.
And also the way the boats are operated, I think for the most part, a number of the wake surf users, they have a tendency, some do, to drive in circles because it increases the amplitude of the wave and it just gets better. And it keeps them in a single location. Well, that really pummels the shoreline when they do that kind of increased activity. So we wanted to see what we could do to deal with
that. So some of this is probably a violation of the wake zone, but some of it is not necessarily a violation of the no mm-hmm. wake zone. It's probably an inadequate regulation or setback.
Correct. And I just wanted to say that we did meet with other counties in Idaho and throughout all of Idaho and Idaho Parks and Rec. And this is a problem throughout the entire state over the last couple of years. And so we met with the Marine Division and different waterways groups with different counties and learned that really there isn't one solution, and that the main solution is public awareness, or the main solutions, I should say, increased enforcement or different enforcement and or ordinances. So some counties and some states are implementing ordinances that actually prevent a certain activity on the water or prevent wake zone an entire river.
Are there times during the season when it's more of a problem because the lake level's not fully up or is being started to draw down? Does that expose the shoreline to greater risk?
I haven't heard of any an increased generation of complaints when the water's lower, partially because most of the docks here are fixed. So really, you can't get to the docks until you're at about 2060 for lake elevation. So right now, for instance, it's all shoreline everywhere. There's really no docks. In fact, the water doesn't go to most of the bulkheads that are on the properties. So, but the increased activity for us, it's usually from the 4th of July until the end of August. Those, I think, kind of 8 weeks is the real key time because it's the highest period of elevation for the lake and the highest activity, and we get way more sun.
Yes, right. Well, I'd like to back up just a bit and talk more about the change that you have seen in the last 3 years. So it really is a different kind of boat and a different kind of activity. What is the type of boat called? Wake boat, or is it a, or is it
you
not
can address
a particular...
that issue, Mark, that terminology.
Well, I think, you know,
I always get it wrong.
Years ago, there were ski boats, water ski boats or whatever, and almost all the boats could actually tow a skier. Then we moved into what's, I think, called wakeboarding. And that's where you'll see the big punt, the big pylons sticking way out of the top of the boat and the big rack. So you can have a high point so people can jump higher over those wakes. That's kind of a wakeboarding activity. And speed-wise, I think skiers maybe go in the 30s mile per hour. Wakeboarders are probably in the 20 mile per hour. But then a number of years ago, wake surfing became very popular. And it's continuing to be more and more popular. And that speed is more like 9 or 10 miles an hour. The faster you go, usually the smaller your wake. And that became popular. It's kind of a group activity because people can sit in the boat and actually talk to the person that's surfing behind them. So, and then they can load the boat up. The boats are designed to be loaded up with people and or water. So it's even heavier and it'll push out a bigger wake.
They have these large ballasts on either side.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, community supported radio for North Idaho. And we're talking about water erosion problems today, specifically with regards to boating in sensitive areas along the river with Molly McCann from the Lakes Commission and Mark Sauter, interested boater.
Yeah, so, all right, so we have an understanding, and of course it isn't just these type of boats, but you have noticed a change since the introduction of this type of recreational sport. But knowing about this problem, you've started to think about solutions, and you've touched on some of them. You noted that regulation has been one way of doing things in other parts of the state, but it doesn't sound like that's what you're shooting for here. Tell us something about your conversations on how to improve the situation.
Okay, I first want to point out that we really don't want to be targeting a specific activity. That industry, the wake boat and surfing industry, is important to our economy. And so we don't want to target that. We just would like to address the problem in an effective way. So again, I was mentioning that we talked about public awareness. That's the number one thing we're working on, and increased enforcement. We'd like to avoid any new ordinances or new regulations because really no one will be happy about that. That's something that generally should be rolled out over a long period of time. The boat industry would be upset about it. I mean, there's just a number of issues about that. So we'd like to start with public awareness and focus on not a particular wake zone, but just to stay as far away from the shore as possible. Our little slogan is avoid the shore, ride the core. And our messages are essentially to boat in the middle, to move out of bays into the open lake, and not, because really anywhere on the river, anywhere in a bay, when you're in a boat generating big wakes, you're just too close to the shore. So just to be avoiding the shore, avoiding circles, repetitive circles, in the bays or near the shore, because those waves are moving in all directions continuously and causes a number of problems. So we've created a flyer and with these messages on it and some diagrams showing boats in the right location. And we're going to be delivering those flyers to boat storage facilities, anywhere the boating industry or boaters will receive them, the watercraft inspection stations, vacation rentals, Chamber of Commerce. Any ideas anybody has?
we'll post the launch ramps.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have their boats launched for them through all the boat storage facilities. So we'll post that and even being here to make sure we get the word out to our own residents.
Sure.
And so we get a lot of tourism here, obviously, yeah. And to try and get the word to those that come in from Washington, Oregon, Canada, wherever, parts east, it's still a chore to get them to, you know, understand.
Molly, there's still the check stations for the quagga mussels and billfoil coming in. That'd be a great place to post some.
Yeah, they will be there for sure. Yeah. Yes. And ideally just targeting those wake generating boats, because we do hand out a lot of information. I guess all boats generate wakes, but large wakes.
I'm curious about the folks who have commercial businesses that rely on these kind of customers. Are they involved and interested in wanting to help with the reduction of wakes?
Yeah, we've reached out to the local boat rental businesses. And we've got good positive feedback from both of them saying we understand and recognize that it could be an issue, and they wanted to be on the front end of it too. So one of the guys has participated in our group.
So. Oh, good. So they might be recipients of the flyers too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they included and they have a boat training part of all their rentals, and they're going to include it in that.
So. Yeah, very good.
We've designed the flyers so it can actually hang on a boat steering wheel or throttle, the hanger, like you see in the hotel rooms.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that we thought so.
Really is. So do you have is there a website or any online resource for this?
I will be putting information on the Lakes Commission website. It is not there currently. It's a busy season right now, but the website is lakes-commission.com.
Okay. And a question that I have about the erosion from the boats in general and these boats in particular, as we began the hour saying that there are many causes of erosion, we're aware of that. And where do you have any idea where this type of erosion stands in the hierarchy of erosion? Is it big deal, medium deal? Where do you see it?
I think it's a big deal, primarily on the river. There are very steep slopes and unstable soils on the Pendere River. Obviously, there are a number of different reasons for erosion, including our fluctuating lake level. But this really has come to the forefront from the public with, you know, real, you know, empirical evidence that it's a new, increased erosion.
It seems like one that people can do something about,
and that
too.
We have control over. And so that's, and that it's really not a problem that's going away. So the county really feels strongly about addressing it as they can.
I imagine that the problem repeats itself at other places like Coeur d'Alene, Flathead Lake, other nearby places. Are you talking to folks there about what's working or not working?
Yes. Like I said, we got together with Kootenai County, and numerous counties throughout Idaho. Idaho Parks and Rec would love to do some sort of similar campaign for the whole state of Idaho on these larger water bodies, because it's a common problem and a difficult one to address. It's a difficult one to enforce when someone's breaking the no wake zone or law. They can call it in, but by the time the Marine Division gets there, that boat's gone. And they also don't want to, they can, what do they call it? Where they can report it. They can take a picture and call it in and get their, the description of the boat, but nobody wants to do that. They feel like that they're going to be in trouble. That just seems to be a common concern.
Mark, you can't get out there and make a citizen's arrest?
Citizen's arrest, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
No, we're usually out early and off the water by the time most of the big wakes start coming up.
I'd imagine
it's the essence of skiing. You want to go out there when the water's flat.
That's right.
I'd imagine there's some areas of shoreline that are particularly susceptible. Are there any barriers that can be placed in the water, something floating that can tamp down the wave energy? Short of big mats of milfoil. I know we don't want to go there.
That's a good point. Some of the property owners are going to where they want to do riprap. In fact, we had some citizens that have been involved in our committee, and they're investigating, you know, what can be done with riprap. But the points that go out into the river are often the most susceptible off some of these little bays.
I'm just wondering if it's not riprap, but if it's something that's in the water that maybe takes the energy out of that water.
Yeah, break. Yeah. Well, the entire river would be that. Okay. Every property owner on the river would put a no-wake buoy in if they could. But okay, that is not something that IDL will permit because the entire river would be buoys.
Right.
And or breaks. Because right, it's just, yeah, it's a problem the entire length of the river.
Yes, I see. So for homeowners, if they do want to try and get ahead of this in the time period while we're working with boat owners, is that basically the only viable solution, some riprapping along their shorelines?
For erosion control?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And to be involved and to attend the county meetings and make their voice heard. And they're participating on our subcommittee, some yeah, shoreline mm-hmm, residents. And
like we said earlier, that they can call in and complain. Some mm-hmm, have called in and complained. I think they've done that up at Priest Lake as well.
Okay.
So, but we're hoping that, you know, obviously optimistic that educating and getting the flyers out will help with some of this.
You've mentioned a flyer. Are there any events or anything where you'll be speaking about this in the future or not at this time?
The wooden boat.
Oh, yeah. We're going to attend the wooden boat show.
Yeah, good.
Someone will remind me when that is, and I'll be there.
It's usually like the second or third week in July.
Okay, yes.
I'm picturing a July 4th parade float, though, that creates some kind of wake that disturbs the crowd on either side.
That's a great idea. You know what? That's a great idea, yeah, with a big flag.
Visual demonstration.
Okay, yeah. Well, if you make it, yeah, I'll stand on it and wave.
I'll think about this.
Has anyone considered a small citizen force of boaters that might talk with people when they're in the act, rather than an actual citizen's arrest where someone might speak with? In my mind, I see like 20-somethings out having a great time that just maybe need a little talking to from time to time.
Yes, we have talked about standing on docks. I believe the Marine Division has agreed to be a stronger presence out mm-hmm, there. And that included being at launches.
I'd imagine for citizen volunteers, there might be a place or a role for a little bit of the carrot. Go out and thank people for doing good stuff, being well-behaved on the water.
Yeah, I mean, that is our intent. That's what our hope is, that's how people see it and that's the message.
I see a great big boat bumper sticker for the ones who are behaving themselves. Avoid the shore, ride the core.
Yeah, bumper stickers are on the list, as well as keychains and
fobs.
Fobs,
those floats for your keys in mm-hmm, the boat, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we intend to do all of that. Mm-hmm.
Is there money for that, or are you looking for help with it? How would that be funded if you went with that sort of a...
Anybody is welcome to donate as much money as they possibly have.
We always ask about the money on the community radio show.
No, the county has agreed to purchase a certain amount of the flyers and the little giveaways. Our county commissioners are entirely supportive of this effort, and the Lakes Commission will be supporting part of the cost.
Okay, so there is some money for these kinds of things.
Yes.
That's great. Well, do you all have anything else you'd like to add to sum up our situation and encourage people to do the right thing with their boat wakes?
I think for the most part, it's just we're very hopeful that our effort here will produce some results, or actually limit the results of some of this erosion and the complaints and the problems. We all started into this thinking, let's do something to avoid another ordinance mm-hmm, and some other restrictions. We're in North Idaho. Most people like to to be out on the water and enjoy themselves and not have to mess with restrictions. So we're hopeful that this effort will be successful and we won't have to go any farther. We'll just have to wait and see. It's going to take a little bit of time, I think, to really figure it out.
Yes, and why don't you remind us of the website folks can go to, and if it's all right for folks to contact you directly, let's have your contact info too.
Absolutely. If you want to be involved in any way or have any questions, my phone number at the Lakes Commission is 208-265-5310, extension 107. And my email address is lakescommission@gmail.com. And the website again is lakes-commission.com.
And those are good for people who want to get engaged in any of the matters that are before the
Lakes
Commission.
Absolutely. If you have any questions at all related to water issues, water quantity in the Ponderay Basin, please contact me.
Put a plug in, too, for your regular meetings that you have to update folks.
We have quarterly meetings. We just had one May 2nd in Priest River. And our next meeting will be August 25th at the Tango Cafe Columbia Bank. I need to schedule that still, but we will be having ideally someone from the railroad speaking on the new bridge being installed and their plans for a geographical response plan. I'm in the process of trying to contact a person for that. We will have someone from Rock Creek Alliance speaking on the Rock Creek Mine in Montanore. And then we always have a speaker from the Army Corps of Engineers addressing lake level issues and projections for the summer and fall and spring. So,
well, if you're interested in the lake, that's a great meeting to attend. It sounds like it's covering everything.
It is a very, very informative meeting. We often address fishery issues as well and aquatic invasive species. So I encourage anyone to attend.
And Mark, if folks would want to contact a private citizen about this matter or just get a date to go water skiing, it sounds like, can they reach you?
Sure. We're on the water almost every morning, early and then late. The guys I ski with all have tournament boats that they're real easily identified.
But you're so far out in the middle of the river, nobody can see you.
No, exactly. You're in the core.
You're in the core.
Right. Yeah, out in the middle. Sure.
He's avoiding the shore.
Yeah, we avoid the shore, ride the core. We're out there almost every day from now until the middle of October. I don't know if I want to give out my
email address. Necessarily. Not necessary.
But anyway. But we're always out there. We go on the river. We go out of the Dover area mostly.
All right.
So most of the people see us over there.
Well, thank you both for coming on the show this morning. And Molly, we will have to talk about getting you back to talk about some of the other matters before the Lakes Commission.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
And from a resident's perspective, the reason I'm involved with the Lakes Commission and Waterways is they both are open meetings, so they both have public comment periods. So I just want to reach out to everybody and say all these meetings, you can step up and speak to the commission or the boards, and they're real receptive. That's how I met Molly, actually. So.
Yes. So if you care about these matters, it's a great meeting to attend and be able to share your opinion. Great.
Well, thank you both for coming in. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. If you missed any of the first half, you can tune into our podcast. It'll be up later at krfy.org. We had a wonderful conversation about wakes and no wakes and all matters erosion with Molly McCann and Mark Sauter. Thank you both for coming in today.
My love and I
Carla Bonhoff, The Water is Wide. You're welcome back to the Tuesday morning show with Phil and Julie here at 88.5 KRFY-FM. We had a great first half talking about water erosion with Mark Sauter and Molly McCann. And this half of the hour, we're going to talk with Tom Dabrowski, president of Idaho Trails Association, about some upcoming events. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Phil and Julie. It's very nice to be here. Beautiful day outside northern Idaho.
A beautiful hiking day.
It is. I did that yesterday. My wife tells me I have chores today. So.
Oh, boy. Well, they do come in the spring.
I'd listen to her if I were you.
Yes.
Well, Tom, you have an important position with Idaho Trails Association. Tell us just briefly what the Trails Association is and what you do there.
Well, the Idaho Trails Association is basically a spinoff of the Washington Trails Association, which started about the WTA started about 52 years ago. Some really smart people started a similar organization in Idaho in 2010. So we're only 7 years old. And the idea is we're a volunteer organization and we help maintain non-motorized hiking trails. You may ask, well, why would you do that? And the reason is there's 17,000 miles of hiking trails in Idaho, so the state tells us, and there's no money to maintain those trails. And so ITA's job is to get energetic, enthusiastic people to come out, volunteer, and to help maintain the trails.
Yeah, help keep the trails open so we can continue enjoying them.
Exactly.
It's a lot of work.
It is. And but it's also a lot of fun, and it's really gratifying. We just had 16 people a week ago, last Saturday, to do the English Point Trail down near Hayden Lake. And these were 16 people from all walks of life, from a variety of areas, including Spokane. And this is an urban trail about 8 miles long with all of the loops. And we go in and we clean mud off of bridges. We fill in the erosion. As you might suspect, there's been really bad erosion this spring from all the water we had. So we go in and we fill in the erosion. We rebuild the water diversion ditches. And sometimes we even paint benches.
And cut back alder and clean out trash sometimes.
Yes. As the season goes on and we get higher and higher in the Alpine country, for example, last year we did the Beehive Lakes Trail. It's always discouraging that you hike into such a beautiful area and then there's trash all over the place. And so we not only go and clean up the campsites, maintain the trails, but we try to educate people about their responsibilities. You know, you cannot burn an aluminum pop can in a campfire. And so many of those locations will haul out a whole bag of partially melted aluminum pop cans.
And with ever decreasing federal and state budgets, it really falls to an army of volunteers to do the work.
That's correct. It's very interesting to talk with the federal employees in the Bureau of Land Management, the Forest Service. They really are facing some very difficult times with budget cuts. And they're relying more and more on volunteer labor. For example, the Bonners Ferry District this year will have a one-week project up in Divide Lake, high in the Cabinet Mountains, a beautiful place. It's about a 7-mile hike in there. And they've asked for volunteers, and we're putting together a volunteer group to go up, spend about a week helping to maintain the trails up there. The nice thing is the Forest Service packs in all the food, and they provide a really great cook. We have a project down in the Wood River Valley down in southern Idaho where the lady who does the cooking for our week-long project down there is a recent recipient of the National Dutch Oven Cooking Championship. So I jokingly tell people, we will promise you that you will not lose weight on one of our week-long projects.
Yeah. And there's another one in the Sawtooths, I believe.
There is. There's one in the Sawtooths, one in the Bob Marshall, and two in the Seven Devils Wilderness, one in the Gospel Hump Wilderness, and on and on.
So I'll say two things about these experiences. One is that you might, for those of you thinking about it, but thinking maybe you aren't physically fit enough to help out, I will tell you that I helped on one of Tom's trail days last year, and there is a volunteer activity for you almost no matter your physical ability, because
that's
you can
correct.
Do as little or as much as you feel capable of doing.
Absolutely. We design them that way, because we have some people who come up and say, gee, I have arthritis. I can't really operate the clippers to clip the brush. And so we'll have those people help pull the brush off of the trail. Then we have other people that use clippers. Then we have the really stout younger people, and we hand them a crosscut saw. Last year, we cut a 36-inch, I believe, petrified spruce tree out of the trail to Beehive Lakes. It took us 2 hours to do it.
He's not kidding. I saw that. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
That was a pretty massive project. So, but it all adds up. And so last year, well, when we were formed in 2010, we had one project and about 17 people that came out one day to work on a trail near McCall, Idaho. Last year, we had 222 volunteers that put in almost 3,800 hours of volunteer labor to maintain these trails.
That's a lot. Now, you're going to talk a little bit about this coming weekend's appreciation
for volunteers. I will. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. This Saturday at our farm, my wife and I live out in Sagal at 877 Heath Lake Road. Her mom's family were the Heaths that settled there in 1926, so they named the area for them. In any case, our place, starting at 2 o'clock on Saturday, we're having a volunteer appreciation party, and the first 4 hours will be open to the public. So anyone who's an outdoor enthusiast is welcome to come. We're going to have three basic set of presentations. First will be the Priest Lake Search and Rescue Group, who does search and rescue services in all of Bonner County for our sheriff. That group will talk about how you contact search and rescue, what you do if some kind of an event has occurred, an accident has happened, what you should do to prepare for the search and rescue people, and then how to work with them once they arrive. The next group that we'll talk is an organization called Two Bear Air. It's started by a philanthropist who lives in Whitefish, Montana. His name is Mike Gogan, and he bought an absolutely fantastic Bell 429 helicopter and outfitted it with a hoist and a thermal imaging system, hired an entire flight crew and a crew of rescue people, and he provides this service for free. So if you are injured in the mountains or on the lake or whatever, and you call 911, it goes to the sheriff. The sheriff will contact search and rescue, and if a helicopter rescue is needed, they'll get in touch with Two Bear Air. The service is, as I said, it's free, and it's very professional. They're going to fly over in their helicopter and land right there by our shop at the farm, and they'll show people the helicopter and what capabilities they have and what they can't do, because that's very important, mm-hmm. too. Right now, they're really pushing the envelope on what they can do. Just this last fall, they rescued a hiker or a climber from near the summit of Bora Peak, the highest mountain in Idaho. And so, very impressive organization. And then third, we're going to have Brian Johnson, a bear and animal expert with Idaho Fish and Game, and he's going to come and talk about how you avoid an encounter with a wild animal, a bear or a mountain lion or whatever. And then if you do have an encounter, what you do to react to that. And then we all of us probably carry bear spray. I know I have for years. And fortunately, I've never had to use the bear spray. So I've never actually seen a real bear spray. So what we've done is we've arranged to have 8 canisters of bear spray, and we're going to shoot them all off.
Are you inviting any bears in?
No, we're trying to get some volunteers that will represent the bear. So
that's all free and open to the public.
That's correct.
So, folks, if you want to be the bear, don't miss this. It's going to be fun.
The idea is for people to actually see this stuff work, and that these demonstration canisters don't have the active ingredient in them, right. So people don't have to worry about tearing up.
And then after the education part, there's a party.
Yes, there is. Starting about 6 o'clock, the ITA, to thank the people that volunteered last year or are our members, we're providing dinner. And we have an adult beverage that's brewed by Sawtooth Brewing down in Haley, Idaho, called the ITA Pale Ale, and we'll also have some ITA coffee, and dinner will be lasagna and a Tuscan zuppa and salad and bread, so a Both of those are prepared by professional chefs who have volunteered their time.
And I understand there's a connection with that volunteer chef.
Yeah, one of them is our youngest son, who's a professional chef.
Excellent. And so that part's for volunteers only or open to the public too?
It's open to the public. If people would like to stay for dinner, we'd love to have you. It's $15 for dinner. And if you will go to our website, which is idahotrailsassociation.org, and once you get to idahotrailsassociation.org, the first story that comes up is the appreciation party. Click on that, and then there will be a link. You sign up and PayPal will take your money. And I will tell you that if you come and you're willing to join the ITA, and there is a membership fee, that we will then provide dinner for free.
That's a good deal.
It is.
Wow.
In addition to that, Life Flight is going to attend the meeting. Life Flight provides our members with a $15 discount on the annual subscription. So you could get a $15 dinner plus a $15 discount on a subscription to Life Flight. And so you're saving quite a bit of money. And of course, we would appreciate, we're volunteer. We raise all of our money through donations and grants from foundations. And so we would appreciate donations as well.
Sure. And truly, if you're a hiker or an outdoors person and you like to get out in the outdoors, this is a really great way you can give back and keep the trails open and keep young and old alike out in Idaho's wilderness areas and park areas.
That's correct.
And enjoy the camaraderie of other volunteers, other hikers. It's a fabulous event to come to. We thank you for coming in today to talk about it, Tom.
Thank you.
Running a little short on time. Any last minute bits of information we missed on the event?
No, I think we've covered just about everything. And again, idahotrailsassociation.org. And if you want to get in touch with me, if you have any questions, you can email me at the ITA site at tom@idahotrailsassociation.com. That's our email address.
We're going to take a short music break to listen to little Annie Lennox, Walking on Broken Glass, which would never happen on any of the trails your crew clean.
Correct.
And finally, just remember, Phil, we've done well with an erosion theme. We had erosive trails and
Annie Lennox, Walking on Broken Glass, which would never happen on an ITA-maintained trail.
Absolutely not. They're looking good.
Well, we've got a few minutes for some upcoming events, and first we'd like to let you know what's happening on the morning shows the rest of this week. So tomorrow at 8 a.m., join hosts Susie Prez and Chris Bessler. Their guests will be the Lake Pendre School District Trustee candidates from Zone 2, Richard Biller and Gary Suppiger. That's at 8 a.m. On Thursday, tune into the Thursday edition of the morning show with hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. Their guests this week will be Karen Wiedemeyer from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, who will be talking about their upcoming Sopranos concert. And then we'll be back next Tuesday with the Sandpoint Sustainability Committee, a couple folks from there, including David Price Williams and Emily Cleveland. We'll learn all about that fairly new committee.
Yes, that's an interesting topic. I hope you will all tune in. And for those of you who weren't there on Saturday, we kicked off the online silent auction for KRFY and Team Autism. It happened at Syringa Cyclery, and it was a great event. We got to see in person the prints that Viggo Mortensen has obligingly donated to our two organizations. Now, if you weren't able to bid then, didn't stop in, or didn't go online over the weekend, this online silent auction is continuing until May 21st. So please do go online and make a bid if you're interested in these really, really compelling prints. You'll go to biddingforgood.com/KRFY. And additionally, KRFY is in planning stages now for our annual on-air membership drive. It's a live two-day membership drive, and that's happening June 9th and 10th. It's open to the public. We hope that you'll come and join us here at the studio, meet our broadcasters, hopefully meet some underwriters and fellow members and future members. We'd like you to join if you can. That's going to be a great event with live music, gift drawings, food, and more.
So if you're listening and you're not a member, this is a really great time to become a member. And if you are a member, bring a neighbor or a friend or have them sign up too. We hope that you enjoy community radio as much as Julia and I do every Tuesday morning.
We do. And bring your annual resubscription if you are a member. You all and underwriters are who keep us on air.
There's a lot of important events coming up this week. And, of course, we mentioned tomorrow morning's morning show with the guests from Zone 2. If you want to find out more about the trustee candidates from all of the zones for all of the elections, the trustee candidates forum tomorrow night, sponsored by Sandpoint Online and the Sandpoint Reader, will be at the Lake Pondre School District. The forum will be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the Columbia Bank Community Room. That's 414 Church Street. That's the one next to Cafe Tango, I think. So the election will be held a week from today, May 16th. This won't be your last chance, I think, but it'll be one of your best chances to see them all in public. The candidates forum is free, open to the public. For those who can't make it, it will be aired live on KRFY. I think that's through the streaming audio, as well as Facebook Live by Sandpoint Online. So learn more at the Sandpoint Online's election page. And, of course, we mentioned earlier the big event this weekend for Idaho Trails Association, the Volunteer Appreciation Party Education Outreach. Absolutely fabulous place to learn more about hiking. That's from 2 to 6, and then the Volunteer Appreciation from 6 to 8. You can go to IdahoTrailsAssociation.org and find out more about that. And with that, we're running a bit out of time today. It's been a fabulous show. We covered an awful lot of ground and water.
That's right. Let's keep the ground in place if we can.
Yeah.
Minimize erosion.
So we'll look forward to hearing you, hopefully